And from U.S. politics to politics in Japan, Prime Minister Shinzo Abe is claiming victory after yesterday's parliamentary elections, and the results are seen as a boost for Abe's efforts to revise the country's pacifist constitution and also stimulate the economy. Joining us by Skype from Tokyo is Stephen Nagy, professor of international politics at the International Christian University. Professor Nagy, remind us first, how does Prime Minister Abe want to change the constitution?
Well, currently, Prime Minister Abe and many of his conservative supporters see the Japanese constitution as not being realistic in terms of Japan's current and future security issues. And I'm specifically speaking of North Korea and, of course, Chinese assertive behavior in both the East and South China Sea. So he would like the Japanese military to behave in a more normal fashion, so be able to respond independently to aggression or assertive behavior by potential threats, whether they be North Korea or Japan. So by changing Article 9 of the Constitution, Article 9 basically says that Japan gives up the right to project power to engage in war. So this is what he would like to change in the Constitution, and this is why it's so controversial, because Japan's post-World War II identity has been very much centered on this idea of pacifism,
right,
and rejecting the idea of war as being a way to solve international problems or relations between states.
So would the people of Japan be with him on that if he decided to make that change?
Poll after poll says that people are supportive of change if it means protecting the immediate archipelago of Japan. If it means projecting power or sending troops far abroad or even into the South China Sea, the support is very, very tepid.
And what about on economic policy? This is a prime minister who even has a kind of economics named after him, Abenomics. He's been trying to stimulate the Japanese economy ever since he took office. What might he do now because of this result?
My sense is that individuals that have been elected to the upper house are strongly supportive of focusing on the economic policy, doubling down, as the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, says, on Abenomics. That means more intervention by the Bank of Japan, and that means more structural change. So not only adopting and implementing the TPP, the Trans-Pacific Partnership, but really engaging in structural reform of the Japanese economy so that Japanese businesses can be more efficient, more profitable, more flexible, more dynamic, and be able to compete with not only businesses within the region, but globally.
Is the sense in Japan that Abenomics has been working?
Actually, it depends. If we look at the young people that were just included in the election, the 18-year-olds and 19-year-olds, many people see Abenomics as moving in the right direction. If we look at NHK, the Japanese National Broadcasting System's polls, 60% of individuals that are 18 and 19 are supportive of the policies. What we see, those people that are against the policies are those people that are embedded in the traditional workplace, embedded in the traditional process of lifetime employment. So those vested interests that for them, Abenomics and structural change and the Trans-Pacific Partnership means a dramatic transformation of their lifestyle. So again, we see pockets of individuals that are against Abenomics and many sectors of Japanese society that feel that Abenomics is the right direction and most likely the only path forward for Japan at this stage.
What does Prime Minister Abe's victory mean for the other countries in the region and for the United States?
First of all, I think it means more continuity in terms of foreign policy, and this is very important. Japan had a long period where you've probably seen those sushi trains that keep moving on, where we have a different piece of sushi moving on. Well, that's what the prime ministers were like. So we had a different prime minister every year. So we had no continuity in terms of foreign policy, economic policy, and political policy. So Prime Minister Abe being reelected in such a strong position means that we have much more continuity. For the Southeast Asian countries, they see more stability, more investment in Southeast Asia, and more cooperation in terms of security, economics, and politics to deal with some of their struggles within the region, in particular their territorial struggles with China in the South China Sea. So again, I think we can look at the area in terms of Northeast Asia and Southeast Asia somewhat differently. South Korea presents a particularly interesting example because Prime Minister Abe started in such a terrible point in terms of South Korean-Japanese relations, but he's made some real progress in terms terms of the comfort women issue, some military cooperation with South Korea. So we can look at it in many different ways in terms of economics, politics, and security.
That's Stephen Nagy, who is a professor of international politics at the International Christian University in Tokyo. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. We'll see you again.